You know, I think education is sort of in the background and somewhat taken for granted, but it's a major event that we participate in with the rest of the VAs across the country. And without the trainees, we probably wouldn't hire as many qualified people.
Aloha and welcome to VAPIX Talk Story. This is our podcast where we inform and educate all in the Pacific Islands on what's happening here at the VA. Today, I'd like to welcome Dr. Marianne Antonelli. Welcome to our show, Dr. Antonelli.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I go way back with Dr. Antonelli. She's one of the first people that I have engaged with, one of our doctors here who you're a rheumatologist. That I know, but I'd like to share a little bit about your background and your journey here to the VA.
Oh, well, it was a long one. I started out in Brooklyn. For those of you, yay, clap if you're from Brooklyn. I did my training in New York State in New York City and decided I really wanted to leave. And I had an opportunity to spend a year in American Samoa. So I did. I was the chief of internal medicine at the LBJ Hospital. This is before I went on active duty. I had been in the reserves before, and when I finished that, I came through Honolulu and stopped up at Tripler, where the current chief of internal medicine was our previous director, Dr. Hastings, and he invited me to be their rheumatologist and go activate from the reserves. So I did that for 5 years. I was the chief of rheumatology at Tripler for 5 years. And then left because I had a child and I needed to spend more time with her. And Dr. Hastings informed me there is no such thing as a part-time soldier. So I had to leave. And worked in the community for about 2 years. Part of that was at the VA. I did reserve duty, put my uniform on, and was a reservist working at VA doing rheumatology clinics when it was down at the federal building. I left, went to West Virginia for about 14 years. And then had to return. And I returned to the University of Hawaii, where I was in the Department of Medicine. I was working at the outpatient clinics and then transferred to be the Director of Student Affairs and eventually retired from the University of Hawaii. And guess who hired me at the VA? Dr. Hastings.
Dr. Hastings. Full circle.
Yeah, he needed a rheumatologist. And it also needed someone to be the Associate Chief of Staff for Education. And since I had an education background, it fit in. Okay. So here I've been here since 2010 at the VA.
Lucky us. So I knew that you're a veteran, so thank you for your service. I knew that because I remember looking for a video of you. You did an interview when you were an Army captain. About, and so I know that you're a veteran, but I didn't even know that you had a life prior to the Army. Been to American Samoa many times, and so I'm very familiar with LBJ Hospital, and that is, you know, starting at a, I would say, a facility it's a big deal, because then the fact that you would be there on that island to do that, wow.
And, you know, doing that, I fell in love with the Pacific peoples. You know, I coming from New York, different character, you know, type A and type B characters, and I just loved Polynesians. And Hawaii was Polynesian to me, too. Aww. So that's one of the reasons I came back and looked at Hawaii for a place to kind of settle down. And I'm really still pleased to be here.
Lucky us, like I said. I know that I have RA, and so you and I are very close because you always give me good advice about my arthritis, and I'm always appreciative, and I always look forward to when there's an opportunity to talking to your medical students about my experience of being an RA patient. So that is why I know that you and I talk quite frequently, but there's also something very important that happens once a year that I want us to highlight, and that is the Health Professional Education Week, the third week of every March. Right. And so thank you for highlighting what our training does, what VA training does for healthcare professionals. And so tell us a little about that. Tell our listeners what that exactly that entails.
Okay, actually, this is the second year we've had a health Professions Education Week. And last year was a kind of sprung on us too soon to actually celebrate very much here. So this year we're trying to bring some knowledge to what the VA does. One of the missions of the VA is to train healthcare professionals for the VA and for the community. And it's a major commitment. The amount of money, it's in the billions, spent on both medical resident kind of jobs. These are the graduate residents who are learning to take care of patients, as well as all other health fields, undergraduate medicine, nursing, optometry students. We have a big commitment to psychology. We have 12 psychology trainees at our facility. We also have social work trainees, and we have even speech therapy trainees. There's a whole long list of the kinds of trainees that we have at our facility. Nationwide, we're the biggest, we meaning the VHA, is the biggest supplier of medical resident education nationally. And this has been going on for many, many years. We train probably 70% of all medical residents, medicine residents across the nation. At some time, 70% of all physicians have had their training at the VA. And the quote for psychologists is 50% of them have had an intense training at the VA, which is really good because this means that they can, when they go out to practice in the community, they know about veterans, they know about veterans' special needs, and can really take good care of them.
I think that's fantastic. That is training our healthcare professionals to inevitably, when they leave training, to know how to treat and take care of our veterans, whether it's with us at the VA or out in the community. So that, I think it's in the billions, that's money well spent, mm-hmm. you know, because eventually our veterans, no matter where they are, can get care. And mm-hmm. we know that the standard of care that they'll get, the training that they'll get, it's very specific to our veterans.
Sure, sure. And I just came from clinic this morning where we have 4 medical residents in my clinic. Some of the patients canceled, so we had a lot more time to talk. And I pointed out the fact that even if they don't come to work for the VA, what they learn about veterans from the veterans in our clinics is very, very valuable.
It is.
So one of the things I wanted to point out for this is not only are we educating the health professionals as the medical professionals and the staff, but the patients are. The veterans are participating and contributing to what the residents know by sharing their stories, both their military stories, but also the healthcare. Like this morning we had a patient with gout, and I had to show the resident how to examine the patient, and the patient, of course, participated and was able and agreed to let the resident also push and squeeze
show and tell.
Do those things, right? As we've done, you've helped us with medical students,
that,
too,
right?
Yes. You know, hands-on is the best way for some of these things, and having veterans participate in the education, they're participating in the future healthcare of themselves as well as the community and forever.
I feel very fortunate that I get the chance as an RA patient to actually talk to our training students because of my experience and how I was treated long ago and how I was spoken to long ago. I hope that it would shape how patients are spoken to now, because the doctor who spoke to me was real matter-of-fact, kind of unempathetic, right? Just, you know, didn't care that I was, mm-hmm. you know, sitting on, I was in college. I got off a shuttle bus here at UH. I was crying on a bench because he said to me that I was going to have arthritis for the rest of my life was, good news, you're not dying. Bad news, you're going to feel like you're going to for the rest of your life. And till this day, I remember thinking, that's a life sentence that you're telling a patient. I would think that they would be a little kinder, gentler on how they deliver the news. And I'm very fortunate now. You know how I love my rheumatologist. He takes good care of me. For years, I've been under the care here at Tripler. But the change in medication, I went from 7 pills a day, right, to now just 1 shot a month. And so just education, right, educating our physicians on how to deliver that kind of message. Because I didn't want to take medication. I remember that. And I remember thinking now that doctors are more aware of what's available. They're able to better care for their patients. So I thank you, Dr. Antonelli. You always keep me informed, and I know that what you're doing for the future generations of our doctors is priceless. So there's $1 billion price tag on that. You're making a difference. And so thank you. I know that this week coming up is special. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that we'll be doing.
Okay. Well, the VHA, the Office of Academic Affiliations, which is the overseer for all of the training within the VA of healthcare professionals, has produced a couple of videos, one of which I'm going to share. And it's about a five-minute video about the history of healthcare education. It's 75 years worth of education since the end of World War II that the VA has been involved in. And it's really, really kind of, it's a short video, but it teaches about how the VA's commitment is there to teach and to develop healthcare. And some of the history, for instance, like some of the research that has been done and the advances that have been done, they're not recognized as well in the community that it has been through the VA's support. The VA has a vast database, and they're creating even a bigger one, something called the Million Veterans Project, which they're taking samples from a million or more veterans so that they can correlate this with their health care and do studies on their health care and the predictors of various health conditions. It's a huge database, and it's going to really bring forward a lot of health care as time comes up. The future is there. And the VA supports it. Now, I'm not supposed to just brag about research, but that's one of them. And we encourage the residents to do what they can. If they have questions, like when they're in the clinic, I said to them today, if you see something that you have a question about, you might be able to answer it with the VA database. So think about things that we could kind of help advance knowledge while you're here. If your questions, because you're new, are excellent, and sometimes we don't think of them as we old goats might not think of those questions, but you're asking some good questions. So this is something that you might even be able to turn into a publishable information from using the VA data. So the education is not only for patient care education, but it's also for what's the future and how can you see the future changing over time. One of the things I wanted to remark upon, because you brought it up, was, you know, your response as a patient to a physician is so valuable. That will be remembered, that if you say, you know, doctor, that those words you used were very comforting or they were a little bit upsetting, could you say it in a different way? Patients hear that. I mean, physicians hear that, and they hear it better from the patient than they do from their educators. So I've always encouraged patients to give feedback to the trainees, and I do this for medical students all the time so that they can learn from the patients. Patients teach us a lot. Not only about their diseases and their diseases, but also about our interactions and our communications.
Well, I was young and in college, so I don't think I knew I could say or speak up to my doctor. I just took it, and it took years before I realized, you know, that could have been shared with me different, because my experience now with my doctor is very different. And he and I are very close as far as my communication with him about my health. And with you, I've always been able to ask you, should I take that vaccine? Am I, you know, so you've always been able to answer questions. And recently, in addition to this video that we're going to share, we'll share that video that you're talking about on our social media, but you also shared one on gout. And so you were mentioning how that was a really good, video that you did, right? Medical school video that you did for the University of Hawaii Medical School. So we've shared that recently too. So that is really important how we're sharing. I know we've done a podcast also on the Million Veteran Study.
Okay, good.
And so for those that want to listen to that podcast, we did that earlier last year. And so that is vital to us teaching our professional healthcare workers now, our professional students, medical students. So in addition to physicians, you said psychologists, we train psychologists, and social workers.
Social workers and pharmacists and nurses. And we have a brand new program that's going to start this summer called the Post-Baccalaureate Nursing Residency.
Okay.
So a nurse who graduates nursing school has little experience. And a lot of, at least before COVID, a lot of places did not want to hire a new graduate. They wanted to hire somebody with experience. So the VA is going to have some slots where we're going to train brand new graduate nurses on how to do bedside care. We pay them not as much as they would get if they were a full-time job, but they're going to be reimbursed and will be paid. And there's going to be a formal curriculum. And we have a great opportunity here at the VA Pacific Islands, not only just to show them bedside nursing as we do it, which is a little bit in the CLC, which is an inpatient nursing home unit, but also in ambulatory care, which we need plenty of good nurses for. But we can have them go, and I'm willing to use some of the educational funds we have to support their travel to our various islands in the Hawaiian chain, as well as far as American Samoa and Guam, so they can see more.
Just a little different on every island.
Yeah.
And so that'll be vital for our nurses to learn. And I know that we have a program in Guam with our nurses with the University of Guam. Mm-hmm. And so it's just unique. Like you said, American Samoa, just to receive health care there, it's the VA and LBJ, right? It's
nothing else.
Not like we have anything else options there. And so flying our veterans is, and I think it's important to fly our health care providers, because it's a little different at all of our sites of care.
So we've also offered to send veterans, trainees to various places. They learn a little bit about the challenges that they see on the Honolulu side when a patient comes from some of these places. And they also see this. There are cultural differences, and why is it some people don't want to travel for healthcare? There's a good reason, and they may hurt. For instance, I always say, I deliver a rheumatology virtual clinic to Guam, which means that these are patients with arthritis. And as you know, sitting in an airplane for 8 hours is not patient-friendly when you have bad arthritis. Come in to see your doctor here, and then you have to go back. That's cruel and unusual punishment as far as I'm concerned. So I do my best to care as much as I can virtually now, and we hope to enhance some of the travel of our providers down to Guam, too, to help care face-to-face. But we can do a lot virtually. And we're training the residents and trainees and nurses what virtual care is.
I think the one thing that came out of COVID was the enhancement of doing virtual medicine and virtual healthcare. So I think the fact that we can do that, you can do training, you can do, it's efficient, right? The time spent in travel, if we could do it virtually, I think that's the one thing huge that came out of COVID that it has taught us that we can do. My husband loves doing a virtual appointment that he doesn't have to take off of work. It used to be like half a day, right?
Yeah,
he would take time off, have to find parking, have to go to an appointment, all for a 20-minute appointment, right? And so it's just like now if you could just do it on your lunch hour in your car or in your, you know, by phone, so... That's a huge improvement. And what else this week, or what else can we share with our veterans? And first of all, we are hiring, so that's we're always looking for people to work for the VA. That's one thing, but getting training here at the VA is another. So I know that that's what you're trying to highlight.
Okay, so the big event, it's not a very big event, but you know, in order to do all this training, we have to have affiliates. And these are academic programs within mostly within the Hawaiian Islands, but some of them are from the mainland, where we welcome trainees. They have to fulfill certain criteria for the VA. They have to be well-accredited programs. And then they have to, each of the trainees has to be eligible to work at the VA. And we're very strict about this. But in order to accept them, we have to have the affiliates kind of go through a bunch of paces. So we're having an affiliates meeting with all of our affiliates on Tuesday next week. And that is just to give them an open house. We haven't had them up here. I thought we could try to maybe get them to come up here, but COVID still being a little bit in the community, maybe we could just do it as an open house without the physical presence. And we're going to do a virtual open house with affiliates across the islands. And that is all of the colleges, all of the schools that send us their trainees, including the community colleges and including like the UH Hilo Pharmacy School.
Which we have many pharmacists from there.
Oh, yes, yes. It's the major training place, but we have hired a lot of those. We've hired a lot of the psychologists, and some of the psychologists come from the university programs. Some come from mainland programs. I haven't invited all of them. I didn't invite Guam because it's going to be at 8:30 in the morning, and I didn't think it was fair to ask him to come on at 4:30 their time. You know, but we'll have other opportunities. But instead of having them come, again, have to park, first get through the gate, and they're not eligible, they're not DOD beneficiaries, and then to park, and then to come and find the place we're going to do it. I thought this was going to be more efficient.
I think so, too. And are we going to record it? Can we record it to share later?
Yeah, it's going to be a Teams meeting.
Nice.
I'm going to record it, and the director's going to speak, and I'm going to have one or two of our trainees speak, if I can cajole them to do it. One of the trainees who's going to be speaking is our chief resident, the VA chief resident in quality and patient safety, who agreed to do this even though she's flying out to Samoa that evening. And so she's going to see what Samoa is like, because she has seen them from the resident's perspective, and now she's going to go work with Dr. Early and see how it's different and why it is that the patients who come up here sometimes are very, very sick, because their healthcare is not fragmented because of the VA. It's fragmented because of American Samoa.
It's so limited.
Yeah. And so so she's going to have a nice visit down there. But I asked her to reflect upon her training, because she's done 3 years of residency, and this is almost through the fourth year at Tripler, sponsored by the VA to help take care of veterans and other people who are admitted to Tripler. So I'm waiting. I'm excited to hear what she has to say.
Right. Oh, well, Dr. Antonelli, thank you so much for spending time with us. Is there any last-minute message, any takeaways you'd like to share before we end our program?
You know, I think education is sort of in the background and somewhat taken for granted, but it's a major event that we participate in with the rest of the VAs across the country. And without the trainees, we probably wouldn't hire as many qualified people to come and work in various kinds of professions within the VA. Having trainees at the bedside with a preceptor also increases the preceptor's knowledge, because they ask good questions and we have to answer them. It increases our capability of taking good care of our patients and motivates us to stay and want to work with the veterans. So, you know, this is a win-win situation, and I wanted to emphasize this week, and that's what this Health Professions Education Week is about. Just remember that education is an important mission of the VA, for the veterans, for the VA, and for the providers.
Thank you so much. First of all, thank you for your service. I know that you have been serving our nation as a veteran yourself, but now continue to do so with our veterans here at the VA Pacific Islands, and what you're continuing to do. We're very fortunate. So thank you for all you do. Thank you for being the rheumatologist. And on top of all that I, for one, am very, very grateful for all of your knowledge with that, and how you share and continue to share that with our providers, and now also with our veterans. So thank you, and we look forward to this coming week.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm glad to let people know about it.
And that's our show for this week. Mahalo nui loa. And until our next show, this is Amy Rolfs with VA Pacific Islands Healthcare System. Aloha.